I have to tell you, that night, we started singing that song, and it kind of took on a life of its own. And we were almost screaming the song to God. It was worship. It was singing. But, I mean, there were 5,000 students just singing with every fiber of their being. It is finished. It is done. You know, the work of love is done. You know, hallelujah, he's alive. You know, hell was vanquished when he cried. You know, it is finished. And it was just, I don't know, it was just one of the most glorious things. One of the most glorious moments of worship that I have ever experienced. And I've experienced some really great moments of worship, but I'll tell you, that one was amazing. And we just sang with everything that was in us. And you could just tell. And he's got another song that we'll probably never do because it's a little too rock and roll-y for us, if that's a word. But it's Jesus is Lord. But it's a great song too, and right after he finished with "It is finished," he broke into "Jesus is Lord," and it was like, really, you know, it's like, wow, that's like, you know, getting a rocket and having two extra afterburners that you just turn on just because you can, you know, and blow yourself into orbit 5 minutes earlier, you know, and just it was awesome. So thank you for being patient with me when I lead worship, because. I don't know if you can even hear me. I get lost in it and just love singing to him. This morning we were talking about the one another commands, and we looked at the three types of one another commands. It's the way to practically love each other in action. We saw this morning that there is the command to love one another. That had a number of aspects to it, some neat ways that we can actually carry out loving each other. Then we saw, secondly, that there was the whole idea of another group of commands on encouraging one another. We saw that had the whole idea of house building, you know, that we were to build up one another. And that word is oikodomeo in the Greek, which oikos is house, and domeo is actually to build a house. And if you have the whole idea, and the cool thing about building up one another is, we really can't build up one another if our foundation is wrong. Jerry, ever try to build a house on a lousy foundation? Probably not, because you know better than to do that. But if you don't have a good foundation, you're going to have a terrible house. And it seems like it takes forever to lay a good foundation, but Scripture tells us there's no other foundation except the one that's already laid, which is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the only foundation that the Christian life can ever be laid upon, is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and us coming to the point of repentance and faith in Jesus and being founded upon Him. Not being founded upon a religion, not being founded upon a body of doctrine, but founded upon the literal person of Jesus Christ. And I think churches get in trouble sometimes when we want to get all the doctrine perfect, but we forget that the doctrine's awesome. I'm all about the doctrine. But if the doctrine does not lead you back to the person of Jesus Christ in an intimacy, a growing, glorious intimacy with Jesus, all your doctrine is going to yield is a dead orthodoxy. You know, you want to know which guys in the Bible had the most incredible doctrine? Many times it was the Pharisees. But they were dead as doornails, and they had gotten their doctrine so perfect that they couldn't recognize Jesus when he showed up. They couldn't recognize the Messiah when he showed up, because they had decided they had their doctrine. They knew exactly what their doctrine was going to lead to, and they were all set. And unfortunately, when the actual one upon whom all the doctrine was founded came into their midst, they didn't know who he was. And so as we build this house and we encourage one another, we need to remember to encourage each other into that intimacy with Jesus Christ. Of course, you have the whole idea of encouraging each other, cheering each other on, and even the idea of admonishing one another. And if necessary, with the Word of God filling us. And also, by the way, it says when it talks about admonishing, the Romans passage mentioned that they were filled with goodness, knowledge, and knowledge, and we're able to admonish one another. If all you're filled with is goodness when you try to admonish somebody, you'll tend to be kind of lenient on them. If all you're filled with is truth when you admonish somebody, you're going to tend to be very hard on people. But if you allow that balance of you are filled with all goodness and with all truth, you will be able to admonish one another, as Paul says in Romans 15:14. It's very interesting that this whole idea of a teaching and admonishing one another also comes with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. There are aspects in which there should be enough truth in what we sing that it could actually admonish us. It could call us forward into the things of God, but it also could lay a rebuke at our feet as we sing to the Lord. And then finally, the reason, you know, we talked about this morning, just kind of wrapping up the review. The reason we encourage each other is it is very easy to be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And by the way, there's not a person in this room, there's not a person in the kingdom who cannot be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. If you wonder about that, realize this. When David committed his sin with Bathsheba, it started with when everybody else went out to war like they were supposed to, David stayed home. That was the very beginning of the hardening of his heart. And then from there, it just went step by step by step by step. And before you knew it, David had murdered a man by proxy, had actually murdered a number of other men who were killed when they got too close to the wall, had come back and taken another man's wife, committed adultery. It was just a laundry list of what a man should not do. But saints, that is why we must admonish one another. That is why we need to encourage each other. That's why we need to build each other up. And it says, as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. By the way, that comes out of Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. And I will tell you this. I'm finally kind of come to the point where I think I know where God wants me to go. And starting next Sunday, we're jumping into Hebrews. Both feet. And what Hebrews is actually going to deal with for us saints, just a kind of a brief little shine light out into the distance to let you know where we're headed. One of the best books that's ever been written on Hebrews is a book called From Shadow to Substance. And what we'll deal with is we'll look at a lot of the Old Testament, we'll look at a lot of the views of God, but we'll realize that the Old Testament was the shadow. The substance is our Lord Jesus Christ. But you will also find that there are very few books in the Bible that have as strong an admonition as Hebrews. And they're like four or five really, really bright searchlights that God will turn on in the book of Hebrews to say, we need to be careful, we need to be careful, we need to be careful. And they're all through the book of Hebrews. And it's actually one of the best books for people who are growing in their relationship with Christ to read, because it will take you away from the studies you can get caught up with. First week, we're going to deal with Jesus is better than angels. You know, actually, we'll deal with what are we going to learn in Hebrews, but that first week, we actually jump into the actual scriptural text. We're going to find out Jesus is better than angels. And it's amazing over the years that I've dealt with people and dealt with Bible studies. And it was funny because I led some Bible studies for different sports teams where I would show up here at 8 and lead one of our college sports teams through a Bible study because they couldn't be here during the regular service. And it was amazing the times that I've done it. They want to know about angels, just almost right off the bat. Tell me about angels. Angels are cool. And I would always wind up saying to them, angels are cool, but Jesus is the coolest. Don't get hung up on these other things that you miss in looking at the shadow puppets and thinking the shadow puppets are so awesome that you miss the reality, who is Christ Himself. And so we'll get into that starting next week. We'll do an opening kind of a primer on why would you want to study Hebrews. But the last aspect of this, we learn that we need to love one another. We learn we need to encourage one another. The last thing, we need to be gracious to each other. There will be times, saints, as humans, as fallen, sinful humans, that we are going to have difficulties with one another. Now, I know that came as a huge shock to you. Many of you just probably had to take a moment just to gather yourself at the thought that as fallen human beings in the church, we're going to have problems with each other from time to time. And what God wants us to understand is when these difficulties come, when these problems come, we seriously need these particular admonitions to make our way through it. By the way, how many of you know of a church split? And kind of an ugly church split, okay? It's amazing. And of course, there are church splits that exist because of just a complete departure from Scripture. And unfortunately, I don't know if those are avoidable. And let me say that. I think some people are like, all church splits are evil. We should stay together. No, you shouldn't. Not if there is a very clear biblical doctrine or biblical principle that is being completely ignored. There are times where, unfortunately, even Scripture tells us that what happens in some of these divisions is that God shows whom He approves. Now, that's a dangerous thing because you can get very arrogant if He approves you in the process. And by the way, sometimes approve doesn't mean He blesses you more. Approve means that you agree with His Word. And as a result, you are approved by His Word. Well, let's take a look at some of these things we need to be toward one another when it comes to needing to be gracious and having these difficulties. Look at Ephesians 4:32, if you would. Just turn there with me. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other." And the construction of that in the Greek basically says, be kind to one another, be tender-hearted to one another, and be forgiving one another. That carries over. All three of those carry over to say basically these are all one another things. Now, saints, there are going to be times where we just need to forgive. And in being forgiving, the first thing you're going to have to do is be kind to someone when maybe they're not being kind to you, or they've messed up, or they've blown it. And you have to wind up being kind to someone that at the moment you don't feel terrible amounts of kindness toward. And yet you have to choose to obey God and say, God, I will choose to be kind to this person. And I know there are some folks out there that say, well, you can't do that. That's hypocrisy. And I would say to you this, yes, you can, and it's not hypocrisy. It's obedience. Now, you may not have warm, fuzzy feelings as you're being kind to this person, but the fact of the matter remains, God commands us to be kind. And therefore, if we're in a situation where we're having a difficulty with someone and we don't have warm fuzzies, but we choose to reject the feelings that we're having of twisting their head off, and instead we choose to be kind, we choose to be gracious rather than to allow our anger to rise up and take over. It says to also be tender-hearted. And that has that idea of you're in a moment where you can go toward being hard-hearted or you can go toward being tender-hearted. It's interesting. Saints, it's a fork in the road. And it's an amazing fork in the road because if you choose to be kind and you choose that tender-heartedness, you will find that God by His Spirit will grant you a greater tender-heartedness. If you choose hardness and you choose to harden yourself towards someone, you will find a greater hard-heartedness down that road. And that is why it is so important when God calls us to be kind and to be tender-hearted that we choose that. We choose it in obedience to Him so that that tender-heartedness will lead to a greater tender-heartedness rather than a hard heart toward people. And by the way, it ends with forgive each other. You know, I remember one time Jesus, Peter came to Jesus and thought he was being real magnanimous. He said, how many times should I forgive my brother? Up to seven times? Jesus said, you know what, Peter? 70 times seven. And by the way, that doesn't mean 490 times. And on the 491st time, let him have it. That's not what Jesus is saying. Seven is the number of perfection. And so 70 times seven is perfection times perfection times perfection. Basically, there should be an unlimited reservoir of forgiveness that we find in Christ. Now, turn over to Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. We'll deal with another aspect. And I love this one. Okay? And I always remember this from VBS. And I can't remember. I think it was Beth Couch. Wow, that goes back a long way. But Beth Couch would teach this to the little kids. She'd teach this verse to them. Because she would teach verses with all these actions and motions and stuff, and the kids loved it. And what she didn't realize was all the adults were loving it behind her, you know, while the kids were being taught. But Colossians 3:13 says, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone." Here's this whole idea again of forgiving one another. Now, I will tell you what Beth did, okay? Beth always talked about, you know, do all these things, bearing with one another, and she'd do the little bear claw thing, and it was so fun to watch her, and then like a whole row of little kids going, bear one another, and it was so fun. I love VBS. VBS is like the best week in my calendar. Because it's so much of a blast to be with those little ones learning the Word. But know what Paul says to us here about this one another command. It says, by the way, those who have been chosen of God, holy and very loved. Now know this, you've been chosen of God. Now I don't know how all that works, except I'm glad He chose me. I don't know about you guys, but I'm glad He picked me. I did not pick God. I hope you know that. None of you picked God. God picked you. Now, let me say this. I don't know how that works, and I'm not sure anybody else knows how it works. You know how we know how it works? We preach the gospel to people, and people who respond in repentance and faith and show fruit in keeping with repentance, those are the ones. That's how we find out. But you need to know that the Scriptures say that before the world ever began, God marked out all those who were going to be His. God knows everybody that's ever going to be saved. And I know that's hard for some people to grasp, but if He doesn't know it, then He's not omniscient. And if He's not omniscient, He ain't God. Now, I don't know how all that works. And by the way, I'm not going to get into a giant discussion on Calvinism. But I will tell you this. You didn't pick Him. He picked you. Now, the only way we know it is you heard the gospel. You responded in repentance and faith to that gospel. Came to Christ and have borne fruit in keeping with that. But it says, those who have been chosen of God. And I love this. He says, we are holy and dearly loved. That's what that word beloved means. When He chose you, saints, He chose to make you holy. If any of you have any aspect of holiness in your life, it is a gift of the grace of God that you have any aspect of holiness that shows forth in your life. We need to know that God chose us when we weren't holy, and He made us holy. And we are dearly loved. And He said, therefore, since this is who you are, you need to put on this kind of heart. And saints, here it is again. We need to make this choice. And this is a choice we need to make. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. And it's like, well, why should I do that? Because we're going to have to bear with each other. You know why you have to bear with somebody? Because they're being a bear. I don't know any other way to say it to you. You bear with people because you feel like you're dealing with a grizzly bear that's just been woken up in the middle of his winter nap. And he's not a happy camper. And there are times we have to bear with people because people are acting like bears. Let me say this. There's times we need to bear with people because they're brand new Christians or they're fairly young in their faith. And sure, we could blow them away with all the truth we could share. But what we really need to do is bear with them and help them to grow and help them to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and take them the next step, not yell at them at why they're not 55 feet down the road. And at times when you're working with a brand new Christian or a young Christian, you just got to keep your mouth shut. Now, if they're in open rebellion and sin, sure, say something. But if they're not manifesting an obedience or a discipline or a maturity that you have because you've been walking with Christ for 15 years, my word, don't jump on them. They may have come to Christ 2 weeks ago. Bear with them. Forgive them, and in graciousness and kindness and love, take the time to help lead them along the way. Paul says, in 1 Thessalonians 5:13, it says, live in peace with each other. I love this. It says, esteem those that are your leaders very highly in love because of their work. And then it says, live in peace with each other. And of course, there's an admonition to me and to you, and there's just simply this. Leaders and people who are led, there are times where we're not at peace with each other. And I can tell you from my experience, we're not at peace with each other because I'm a doofus and I'm not quite doing everything I ought to do, or I'm not getting things done in the way that they ought to be done, or there's some aspect of something that's not being led as well as it ought to be led, and that creates a problem. But Scripture says, be at peace with each other. Let me tell you one of the best ways to be at peace with each other. Talk to each other. Let me tell you the worst thing you can do is when you get frustrated at someone, you go tell somebody else that you're frustrated at them. What is the best thing you could possibly do is if you're frustrated with somebody, go to that person and talk with them. You can actually have peace break out in that circumstance. But the problem that happens in many churches is we get frustrated with one another, and we get frustrated with a brother, we get frustrated with a sister, and what we do is we find someone who has, and I love this, we call it a gracious listening ear. No, you got somebody who just loves hearing gossip. Because if they were a godly person, the moment you started talking about somebody else, they would go, oh, wait a minute. I'm not aware of this situation. And honestly, biblically, I shouldn't be aware of the situation unless you're asking me to go with you to talk to this person that you have the problem with. And by the way, if we're going to continue this conversation, you need to know I'm going to do everything I can in praying and in talking to you. And by the way, I'm going to go talk to them too. By the way, that's the best way to make sure nobody ever gossips to you again. Tell them you're going to go to the other person and tell them about the circumstance and get the two of them together. They'll go to everybody else in the church and tell them their problem with you. You know, I was telling him about my problem, and you know what he did? He went and told the other person. Can you believe that? That was just so wrong. No, it was dead right. Scripturally. I've had people come and tell me stuff, and I'm like, wait. Let's stop for a second. Because if you want to continue, let me let you know where this is going. I'm going to get with that person, I'm going to get with you, and we're going to get everybody together, and we're going to have a wonderful Holy Spirit powwow, and we're going to get peace. Because I tried it the other way, and by the way, saints, it doesn't work. You'll see a church that's relatively peaceful and you get a couple of gossips cut loose in that fellowship and you'll split that thing and blow it in a million directions. Because you'll have your every little group that has decided to coalesce with this group of people, and then this group of people coalesces and everybody's mad at somebody, and then the whole thing just explodes and it just dishonors God greatly. Saints, we need to be at peace with one another. And that may mean make a choice to do something. I love this one. Ephesians 4, 1 and 2. It says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. By the way, we go right back to our salvation and God's call upon our lives. What do these things look like? Well, we need to have all humility, gentleness, and patience. Boy, those are showing up all over the place, aren't they? And then it says, showing tolerance for one another in love. That's how we get along with each other. We show tolerance to one another in love. And I'm talking about biblical tolerance, not the tolerance that the world says. The tolerance of the world says, you tolerate my sin and I'll be just fine. Don't you say anything about righteousness. Don't you say anything about God's word. You are to tolerate what I do and you are also to enjoy it as well. And you are to approve it. And let me say this. I can't do that. Not scripturally. But I can show a great deal of tolerance toward people's faults. I can show a great deal of tolerance towards people's need for growth. I can show some tolerance towards someone who needs to be brought along. And you know what? I'm so grateful that in the life of this church, I've been here 20 years, believe me, there's a whole lot of tolerance that's been shown toward me. And so, saints, if we want to have that worthy calling, that worthy walk, it's going to require a humble, gentle, patient tolerance of each other's failings at times. Not that we try to encourage us to continue failing. It's just sometimes, you know, and it's like this, saints. I'm working with a group called Setting Captives Free, and it's helping men who are struggling with online pornography. And there's days where I need to say to a guy, you need to deal with this. And there are other days where a guy is just really struggling and having a difficult problem. And what I need to do is come alongside of him and cheer him and encourage him. And you know, wisdom is knowing the difference. You don't need to have hammer time every time somebody has a problem. Let the hammer fall! And you crush the poor person. There are times you do need to confront them. There are times you do need to say, this is sin, and brother, you need to drop it. And what I love is my mentor said, quit sword fighting with God. Quit fencing with God. That was a day where I needed a stronger word. But there are other times where guys have shared with me, and men in this fellowship have shared with me, you know, hey, we love you. It's okay. And what they're not saying to me, hey, just keep sinning. It's great. It's okay. Go for it. Hope you sin twice as much next week. That's not what they're saying to me, and I know that's not what they're saying. What they're saying is in a loving, gracious way, they're saying, it's okay. I know you sinned. I know you're repenting. But it's okay. God's grace is going to be sufficient. I had a brother look at me one time and said, you know, John, this is the fourth time you've mentioned this to me, and I forgave you the first time. So whose forgiveness are you seeking? It's like, ow. It's like, well, let me think. I think my own. And I think the reason I think I needed to forgive myself is because I had such high thoughts of myself. Oh, there's where my problem is. I thought I was beyond this. I thought I was sinless in this particular area. And therefore, when I messed up, suddenly I had all these horrible feelings toward, I can't believe I did this. I can't believe I messed up. I can't believe, and there it is. I was sitting there thinking, I can't believe I messed up. I am so beyond this. You know, and it's like, no, you're not. You're a doofus. You know, the second you leave Jesus, the second you're not filled with the Spirit, the second you're not listening to the Word of God, you're going down. That's the fact. And the amazing thing is sometimes I will convince myself that I think I'm just awesome. And in that moment, what I really need is somebody in a loving, gracious way to share the truth with me. Now, this is an awesome passage, and I'm going to take just a minute here. Look at Romans chapter 15. And this is really an amazing situation that of what is being said here. And I'm going to go back to verse 1 to bring it in. And it's an amazing and it's an interesting thing. And let me say to you guys, I very much want to encourage you to build a set of, a set of views, a set of convictions that you seek to live your life by. But be very careful when you begin to set a set of convictions by which you live by, that you don't use your set of convictions to beat the living daylights out of other Christians that don't have your particular set of convictions. Now, let me explain to you why I said that. Romans 15:1, it says, now, we who are strong ought to bear with the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Wow, that is an amazing statement. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, and here it comes, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. One of the things that we are to do and that will give us a great deal of grace toward each other and graciousness toward each other is to accept each other, and especially to accept our brothers and sisters who are weaker in their faith than we are. And let me put it this way. There are brothers and sisters who have walked with the Lord for years, and as a result, they have built a set of convictions upon which they approach things in life. But the problem sometimes is they take those convictions and they almost stand in judgment of those that don't have the same convictions. And what happens is we don't accept one another. And what can happen in the life of a church is we will fellowship with those who share our unique set of convictions. Now, let me say this. There's some convictions we just can't bend on, saints. Jesus is God. Don't bend on that one. The Word of God is the Word of God. It's infallible. It is the sole rule for faith and practice in the Christian life. It doesn't have error in it. Don't bend on that one. God is God. Don't bend on that one. God is a Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Each one is equally God as the other, and yet they are one in their essence. Don't bend on that. Salvation is by grace through faith. Don't bend on that. Now, I eat health food. Bend. Okay? And I'm going to get in so much trouble, but I've got to go there for just a second. I believe a woman should never wear pants. Bend. I believe men should have short hair. Bend. I don't believe guys should have earrings. Bend. Because the redneck in me just rises up. But bend. And saints, there are churches that have built a whole list of these things. And they almost slaughter people that don't have that same group of things. And yet this whole passage says, now we who are strong ought to bear with the weakness of those without strength and not just please ourselves. And sometimes what happens is when we get our little set of convictions on and we are all about our convictions, and when somebody doesn't have my conviction, oh, shame, shame. If you really were growing in Christ, you'd have this conviction. And what we're actually doing is we're not bearing with their weakness and helping them grow in the things of the Lord. We're just pleasing ourselves. And in time, what we'll do is we'll get a little group of folks that are just like us. And you know what? There's whole churches that are like this, isn't it? And what Scripture tells us is, well, that's interesting. It says, each of us is to please his neighbor for his good so that he can be edified. For it says, Jesus didn't even please himself, but as it's written, he bore the reproaches of others. And sometimes when we choose to be gracious and help people that are younger believers to grow in their faith, we're going to wind up bearing the reproach of people who have these convictions. Because, by the way, who was it that poured out reproach on Jesus? Was it the Romans? Uh-uh. It was the ultra-religious crowd. They couldn't stand that Jesus would go into the marketplace and not wash his hands ceremonially the way that they do to get rid of the filth of the crowd before he would eat. They couldn't believe that Jesus would talk to a woman openly. They couldn't believe that Jesus would heal a leper. They couldn't believe that Jesus would have dinner with a bunch of sinners. They couldn't believe that a woman would walk in open repentance, weeping, and that she would kiss his feet and wipe his feet with her hair while the tears of her repentance washed the dirt off of his feet when the Pharisee that asked him over to dinner was sitting there judging him the whole time, who didn't even offer to wash Jesus' feet according to ordinary, decent convention. Careful, saints. This is something that will allow us to accept one another. And I love it. It says, just also as Christ accepted us. And please hear it, saints, under the glory of God. I mean, can you imagine if there was a group of angels in heaven who had gotten a certain level of conviction about the certain people that should be allowed into heaven? And can you imagine an angel coming over to God and going, God, oh, my word. Do you see the riffraff that Jesus is going to bring to heaven? Do you see some of these people? And honestly, he'd probably be pointing to the Calvary Chapel movement in the 60s. Jesus is going to bring a whole batch of hippies into heaven. Lord, they won't sit on chairs. They won't wear shoes. They are weird. They invented their own music, Maranatha music. They put a Jesus name on it. You know, you can just see the angels just griping. And you just look at God stand back and he goes, you know what? Jesus went out into the byways and the highways and he dealt with the lepers and he dealt with the women caught in adultery and he dealt with the men who were so full of themselves they were ridiculous. He dealt with a religious guy who was so scared to talk about spiritual things he had to come to Jesus at night even though he was a religious leader. Jesus went and dealt with all of them and he's bringing them all to heaven and then you can just see God turn to one of these angels and he goes, and it's to my glory! It's so glorifies me when he does that kind of thing. Just busses me up one end and down the other. You realize that Scripture tells us that every time there is a sinner who needs to repent and he repents, heaven bursts into a party. They're cheering wildly in heaven. Another sinner has repented. Another godless person has come to Christ. There's another freak in the church. And they're just dancing and singing and rejoicing. And I can promise you, saints, what they do after a while is they burst into song about the blood of Jesus. And how the blood of Jesus can take any vile sinner and turn him into a spotless, beautiful, holy, righteous saint. And therefore, we need to accept one another unto the glory of God. Because I'm going to tell you, saints, if God does bring revival to His church, I believe one of the things that will begin to happen is the Lord's going to bring in some interesting folks. And we better be ready. Because what He wants us to do is love them and minister to them and help them grow to the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 5:21 says, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. I love that one. That basically means this. My brother and I used to look at each other when we were getting all uppity with each other. And my brother would look at me and say, John, you think you're the big cheese, but you only smell like it. And what I'm saying to you, saints, by saying that is just simply this. Scripturally, I probably have a very heady position in the body of Christ. But if I'm not going to listen to the most gracious, and I say this, please understand, I say this with massive quotations. If I don't listen to the lowliest saint and can't hear something from the lowliest saint, I've blown it. Now, there's times where God basically tells me, tells the elders of this church, lead. Get out front and lead. And you know what we need to do? We need to lead. There are other times where God says, listen. And be subject one to another. And it's such a beautiful thing. It builds such unity and there's such a graciousness when we do that. Philippians 2, verse 3. Consider others more important than yourself. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Colossians 3:9, don't lie to each other. I love that. Do not lie to one another, and since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices. By the way, what do you need to do if you've ever lied to somebody? Repent and go to them and say, I'm sorry, I lied. And then it's up to them to go back up to that, forgive, be kind, gracious. Then there's finally this, be humble toward each other. It says, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, I love this. It says, younger men, be subject to your elders. So guys, we need to know that. I don't know where I fit anymore. I'm 50. I think I'm probably not a younger man anymore. I'm a younger man to some, but I'm a younger man to many fewer than I was when I first came here. But I love it. After it says that, it says, You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. But then it says, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5:5. Let me go on record as saying something. Here's acceptable attire when you come to church. Y'all want to know what you're supposed to wear to church? Clothe yourself with humility. Clothe yourself with humility one toward another. That is an outfit that kills in spring and summer and winter and fall. You are definitely on the high fashion of heaven list when every Sunday you say, here we go, I don't know what to wear. Oh, I remember. I'm supposed to clothe myself with humility toward my brothers and my sisters in Christ. So God, as I get dressed this morning, and let me encourage you with one thing. God, help me to be modest. Help me to consider others better than myself as I'm getting dressed. But then, you know the other thing, Lord? Let's just put on some humility this morning. I just need to put on a whole batch of humility so that when I get to church, I'm just going to be gracious and humble and forgiving. And I'm going to have that tolerance toward my brothers and sisters. I'm going to accept them, even though I've learned that it is beneficial to have these views that I've got and and I can't think of the word I used earlier, but saints, if we'll come together like this corporately, like we are now, but then also come into these smaller community groups like this, it gives us that wonderful opportunity to love one another, to encourage one another, and then thirdly, saints, to be gracious to each other. You want to know a wonderful threefold foundation that will help our community groups be blessed of God? Make sure that your community group is based on loving one another, on encouraging one another, and on being very gracious one to another. And let's just watch God bless it. Let's watch God do a wonderful work of His grace. Let's bow for a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for your goodness. Lord, I thank you for these admonitions of Scripture. They're little bitty tidbits. They're a verse here, a verse here, a verse here. But God, they really all come up to the character of Jesus Christ. God, these are not things that I'm going to try to just work up in myself. But God, these things come as we are filled with your Holy Spirit. And all the Holy Spirit wants to do as He fills us is be Christ in us, the hope of glory, as we relate one to another. And so, God, I pray that as we do this, we are not trying to take certain habits or certain things that we're going to try to do in our own strength. God, I pray that we will look at these things and realize these things are beyond my strength at times. Really, they're beyond my strength, period. But, oh God, in Christ Jesus, you have made me alive. And you have filled me with your Spirit. And your Spirit has every single one of these qualities and traits. Oh God, may I learn to be obedient, to listen to your Spirit, to listen to your Word, and to choose Christ over self. Lord, bless us as we move forward as a fellowship in the community groups. And bless us, Lord, that every single one of our community groups will be founded upon loving one another, encouraging one another, and God being gracious one to another. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.